everybody, welcome back to Simply Soccer. I am your host, Michelle Hootink, back with my co-host, Christian Conway.
Five in a row is nice, but six is divine.
The race to SACE continues. LA Galaxy are number one in the league, as somebody pointed to me. I know I don't usually look at the table that way. I really just say, okay, LA Galaxy is number one in the West. That's what we were hoping for. All the other games, MLS worked out for the Galaxy to be able to jump to the top. That said, I am very glad that a win is a win. But the Galaxy with a 1-0, that was close. I mean, sure, I can understand the Sounders didn't really seem like they were ever going to really score, but they were knocking. And the fact that the Galaxy were only up one, at no point did I feel comfortable or safe in that match.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think, Seattle did a really good job after getting punched in the mouth in the fourth minute by Gabriel Peck, and who took that goal absolutely excellently. Maybe Stefan Fry could have done better with it. But yeah, I agree that there was a sense that this was in the balance. There was a little bit of a lack of confidence. I think also Casares going down 32nd minute. That really also rattled the Galaxy. You look at, the shots on goal, you look at expected goals, the stats numbers did not like this Galaxy team, but they figured it out, and I think that's the mark of a good team is figuring games out where maybe you're not the protagonist and maybe you're not the best team and all those other things, but you get through it, right? And that's exactly what they did. And I think that's kind of the, again, I'm going to use a word I've used a lot this year, which is resilience. They figured out a way to get through this game, and I think I agree with you. There were definitely some moments where they were living by, this, the hairs on their chinny chin chin, so to speak, steal a little nursery rhyme. But they continued to just show that little bit of guile and whatever word you want to use to get themselves through this game. Now, were there problems? Yes. Transition defense, again, another problem. And the playing surface, I think, also kind of bothered the team a little bit. I think it bothered both teams at times. But, three saves out of McCarthy, three excellent saves, I would say. 0.9 expected goals versus 1.9 for Seattle. Seattle probably will feel really aggrieved by this game, but again, it's the sense that this team can figure out games in a way that they didn't have the diversity of ability to figure out games last year. Last year we were looking at a team that when they were in the offensive ascendancy, they could blow any team off the field, but when it was a close game or it was something that required them to be a little bit smarter, have that little bit of extra flair, I guess, but that little 5% more, they never found it. And in these kind of games, they would struggle. They would go up a goal, get battered, concede a goal, and then the heads would drop. That didn't happen. And yeah, maybe this is, again, the Conway corollary might still be a little bit in play here with it being the sixth game of the season and all that other stuff. But if you're a Galaxy fan right now, what you saw on Saturday night in the rain, that doggedness, that, again, I hate, I like coming on the show and I like talking about tactics, but I don't think the narrative of this season has been tactics. I think it's just how they figure out games and the way that they, let's be very honest, a stat line that I really love using, which is X dog, the way that they X dogged Seattle to death on Saturday night in the rain. I mean, that was a messy game. It was a dirty game. It was not fun. It was one of those games where, you as a 11-year-old kid love it because you're playing in the mud and playing in the puddles. As a professional, you hate it because you're moving slow. The ball isn't checking up the way that you're normally used to and stuff like that. But they went out there and they battled in the trenches. I mean, it was not a clean game, but they battled in the trenches in a way that, I'm going to give Vanny a ton of credit on this game because I think Norm, like last year, that wouldn't have happened. But the way that he instilled, he's what whatever he's instilled in this team, and maybe it's the addition of Peck and Pencil in there. We're not seeing what they add in the locker room. Maybe it's the fact that Riqui Puig maybe is taking more of a leadership role than before. Maybe it's all those other things. They went out against Seattle and won a game that I'd argue last year or 2 years ago or even 3, 4, 5 years ago they wouldn't have won.
No, totally. I completely agree Which is why I didn't want to be negative. I know like the last couple episodes I feel like I have been really critical of the team. But I wanted to give them credit where it was due. I mean, there's a part of me that's like, sure, the Seattle team just isn't put together the way that it once was. Like I said, it was a winnable game. I am glad that the Galaxy won it though, because yeah, the pitch, for all it's worth, was soaked. There were 22 over 22,000 fans that showed up for a rainy day. I mean, it felt more like Seattle than, weather-wise, and for everybody to show up and be there. I think that the fans are starting to feel like it's worth coming to a game like that, like just to brave the weather. And I think that it hasn't been that way in a really long time. So I think that says a lot there, that everybody toughed it out. Everybody stayed to the end. You didn't have these people walking out in the 70th minute as a lot do. And I don't blame anybody for trying to beat traffic and the weather and all that, because it did pour as soon as the game was over. But that said, yeah, it's the work that the team is putting. Like you said, the defense, of course, there are still the issues, but it's definitely, they're workable issues. They're still able to. I'm glad that they got the shutout, but that is, to compliment the defense, but then also McCarthy is what I really want to highlight there. And then yes, of course, three Ps that everybody keeps talking about. I think that really matters that Peck got his first goal with us. That, and then of course it's to no surprise that the assist came from Hoosh and Pansil, right? So there's really good things that are going on with this team right now. Yes, and credit to Vanny as well. There was another point that I was going to make about,
That sounded like
yeah.
you were pulling teeth, by the way, giving Vanny credit. I'm just saying.
Well, just because there's still things that are still problematic. Now, look, this is what I was going to say about the pitch. We were all worried. We're texting with Jamie Bacon and talking about, oh, we're worried about ACLs and hamstrings and the like, right? We just signed a new center back, Carlos, and he's a young kid. That's what we need, because unfortunately Caceres isn't going to hold up. I mean, I don't think he can play a full 90. I think he'll have to be like a sub, and that's when he feels better. Luckily, it looks like the injury isn't going to be that bad. I read on X that Jaylen is supposed to be coming back in a couple weeks. We need that depth in the back for sure, and I think that will help clean up some of the defense. And I hesitate to say that because I really like our team. I love our guys. I love the heart. I think that they're doing a great job, but there's definitely some kinks that still need to be worked out.
Yeah, and to, for a quick note on the Sounders, the fact that they all the showpiece acquisitions they made in the offseason being unavailable for this match, especially Pedro de la Vega, this was a game that the Sounders probably dreaded playing, considering the fact that you ran into what I think we can safely say at this point in time is the buzzsaw that is the LA Galaxy, without really having any of your reliable difference makers on the field in a way that you can shape the team to affect the game. But I'm not going to say that the Galaxy, like, true, yeah, but you have to play the game in front of you, right? And so the Galaxy came into a game where they had an opportunity to get 3 points, had an opportunity to stamp their mark on one of what will be one of their rivals in the Western Conference, which will be a team that we all know with the Sounders. We get around July, and then it's Sounder zombie virus. They just kind of just wake up out of the grave and keep going. You have to win the game that's presented in front of you, and this is something that I think, again, I would really love to be talking about tactics right now, but I don't think it's relevant in this game, because I think what it was these are games where you have to play the game in front of you, right? We went to a Nashville side that was depleted due to injury. Gary Smith in the managerial chair, probably the hottest chair in MLS right now. They go and they draw that game 3-3, but it felt like a loss. We came on the show and we talked about how like they really missed a chance there. St. Louis, same thing. You go into the Seattle game, right? A wounded Seattle team, a Seattle team that really is trying to figure it out on the go, winless in the start of the season. And the Galaxy took care of business. I don't think, like, I know it sounds like very, very weird to be heaping praise on a team for taking care of business in the way that they're expected to do, but I'm doing that because the Galaxy haven't done that in a very long time. I think, you look at previous iterations of the Galaxy, this is the game where you play a wounded Seattle side, a side that is reeling, a side that, Brian Snitzer is trying thing after thing after thing, and it's not working, and their showpieces aren't available. And I think there was previous iterations of the Galaxy that would have looked at that opportunity, said, "Oh, we've got a chance here," and then completely dropped the soup. Or like it's that scene in The Office when they dropped the chili, right? Like, I mean, that's exactly what it would have looked like. But they went out, scored a goal in the 4th minute, were professional through the evening, and I do believe luck is a skill, and they had a lot of luck that night. But they got it done, and that's the thing, is it's these things where, yeah, did it look impressive in the second half? No, it didn't. They were hanging on for dear life. I thought in the first half they probably could have scored 2 more goals, but obviously Pencil hits the bar or the woodwork, excuse me. I think he's hit the woodwork 4 times this season, which is the most of any MLS player. If you're hitting the woodwork that much, that's a good sign, right? Like, oddly enough, that's one of those stats where we look at and we're like, okay, well, he just needs, he's calibrating the aiming computer, if you will. You got some really good stats out of Gabriel Preck. 70 touches from Gabriel Preck in this game. I mean, for a guy that hasn't really had a lot of time to bed in with this team, due to his process leaving Vasco da Gama, obviously the wedding, having to be in Brazil and all that other stuff. 70 touches, 1 goal, 2 key passes, 91% passing accuracy, and 5 out of 7 successful dribbles. For a guy that has not really been around this team for longer than a day, basically. Those are numbers that, okay, if that's the first time we're really getting him for what, 60, 70, 90 minutes, you have to think that's going to improve, right? And if those are your baseline numbers, then you got to feel really good about where this thing goes, right? Like, yes, and Pooch, I believe it was Christian Miles that mentioned on Twitter, he said Riqui Pooch is the perfect hitter of that Travella pass, that outside the boot cross pass. I mean, he is. But the way that he was just constantly shifting the field between, if Pansel was getting stuck out a little bit, then they would go immediately to Peck's side and try to find the overload there. And then Peck would have the know-how to be like, okay, cool, I've got to get this back to Pooch because then he can get it right to Pansel. And then all of a sudden we're in on goal with, either it would be either Miguel Berry or Dan Jovlich, who obviously was dealing with somewhat of a groin strain issue. Hopefully that is cleared up. It seems like it has. They now have multiple ways to kill you. And I think that there was a really clear-cut chance in the 40th minute, and Pencil just gets in, and somehow the Seattle defender makes a very smart run to put him off. But you just look at those little passages of play and you think to yourself, these guys have only had 5 games together, basically, like 4 or 5 games together. What happens when we're 15 games into the year? What happens when we're 20 games into the year? And now everyone all of a sudden understand each other. You mentioned Carlos Garces, who they just signed, Jalen Neal coming back in 2 weeks. Like, it all the data points I like to see in a team in terms of passing accuracy, in terms of, amount of passes conducted in game. And I understand that, there are certain stats we get lost in the shuffle on. I think it was great to see Bregman from the start this night. But, you look at a team that can produce, 9 shots, 489 passes, and a passing accuracy of 81%. And we're talking about, like, yeah, it wasn't a great night. That's not bad, guys. Like, that's not bad. These are underlying numbers that are things that I really like. Now, I do think Riqui Pooch has gotten a lot better about the fact that he can cover through midfield on the defensive side when the ball turns over. I think we saw that a couple times to him stymieing a couple Seattle runs. That being said, Cáceres did look a little bit off the pace. Obviously, went down injured in the 32nd minute. We will see how that plays into Saturday this week. They do, again, suffer in transition. And I think it's because Riqui Pooch just has never been a guy that is interested in playing defense. And that was the big knock on him during Barcelona, but he's never trained for it. So we can't really blame him for it. That's going to be something they really need to work on. But again, to kind of come back to the center point I'm making here, this is a team that for so many times over the past 4 or 5 years missed opportunities. And by that, I mean, they would go into games where the opposition had critical players out. The opposition was reeling on five, six, seven game, winless streaks. And they would just go and absolutely roll out the red carpet for that opposition team to beat them. They didn't do that on Saturday night against Seattle. They went out, they scored a goal early. It was industrious. It wasn't pretty, but it was industrious and they got it done. And that's the most important thing.
Sorry, everybody. I'm on my phone doing this Zoom and I couldn't find the unmute button. Yeah, just listening to everything you're saying, you're 100% right. This team is in a lot better shape. And we're only six games in to be able to say that it can only go uphill from here. I really think that as you were saying, there are other teams that are gonna get it together too. Because I'm thinking if the Sounders were their full team, then the Galaxy definitely would have had their they would have to have been up the two or three goals they should have been in that first half. But again, this has been a narrative that we've been saying, especially just these last five games. But I don't want to judge too harshly because we have to look at how far this team has not just come, but just for them to be in the position that they're in. I mean, God, it feels good to be number one in the West, in the league. Like it's not what I thought that we were going to be saying. The Galaxy have been struggling to capitalize on their chances, but that said, they're still able, yeah, to get on up there. Whereas last season, you would have been like, oh, the other games, they worked out in our favor, yeah, and then the Galaxy blow it, and then we're like sitting down like fourth or ninth, right? Depending on how the other games go. So, it's interesting to me that Pansio keeps hitting the post. I love how optimistic and praiseworthy that is for coming from you. For me, it's just like, what's going on, sir, that you can't get that in the back of the net? Like, why do we keep hitting the post, but again, I don't want to be too critical. And then going into El Tráfico at BMO, I know this team is really gonna step it up. I think we don't do predictions on the show, and I don't want to jinx us, but I think it's gonna be a good result for the Galaxy.
Yeah, and I think what with Peck coming into this team, what the Galaxy have finally been able to really get at, we saw it a little bit in the game against Nashville, where Fagundes and Pansel were just completely switching wings every, 10, 15 minutes. But now they've got guys that can go outside out or inside in on both wings. And when they switch, if you're an outside back trying to defend against that while also trying to get into the attack, it really does screw with you a little bit. And I think they can unseat a defense very easily. I think we saw that a couple times against Seattle. I think the ability that now Pooch has, where he doesn't have to be the guy every 36 seconds trying to create opportunities, and the fact that Oudé, is willing to get as high up in the attacking and the attacking shape, and then also the fact that now they have someone to pair with Miki Yamane, where I think before Peck really came in, Yamane, who is this, if you look at the player positioning maps, this does play kind of like a 3-3-3-1 in the attacking shape, kind of. But the fact that they can now rely on letting Yamane stay at home a little bit really helps in that transition and rest defense kind of area that we've been talking about. And also now they have a guy in Peck who can swap with Pansel, and they're both comfortable on both sides of the wings. And it allows Yamane to feel comfortable that he doesn't have to be bombing up the wing to try and help create overloads that whoever is going to be on that side can just create in themselves. I think the one kind of maybe minor concern I had in this game, obviously Cáceres going down is probably the biggest one. I thought they were a little wasteful in goal, in front of goal, especially near the end of the game in the 70, 80th minute when they kept trying to feed Dan Jovlich. I understand why they did that because of the stat line that he was sitting on. He'd have been the first MLS player to start a season, six goals in six games. But, and you want to help your guy out, right? Like you just do. But I do think there is, I think I saw a lot against Seattle that it was it was coy, it was smart, it was precocious, and it was just it you mentioned it earlier in the call about the atmosphere there. You know, this is a rainy game in Southern California. We know, I mean, we've lived in Southern California all our lives. People don't really show up to events when it rains in Southern California, right? But the energy in the building, the fact that it was packed to the gills, the noise when Gabriel Peck scored his goal, I think it just pulled the team through that 90 minutes, and it did feel like Dignity Health Sports Park is a fortress again. Like, it did feel like that stadium is now an imposing place to play, because for years teams hated coming there because it was hard, it was loud, it was intense. And that went away a little bit over the past 10 years because of results and all that other stuff. This just did feel like this affirm, and maybe it's confirmation bias, and it certainly could be, but it did feel like this affirmation of like, hey, look, this place is tough to play. This crowd is up for it. This crowd is getting rewarded by the team, and the team is feeding off the energy, but the crowd is also feeding the team with their devotion and focus.
Yeah, maybe this DJ thing is actually working too to hype up the crowd. And Ravi drums, he can come back anytime. That was really, really a lot of fun. The swapping of the sides with Paintsill and Peck, that is, I think, going to help with the predictability that I'm worried that the Galaxy start to have the way that they've been playing. I feel like as soon as they get kind of figured out too. I was worried about. Oh no. Okay, sorry. I thought my mic shut off. So I just was worried that the Galaxy are gonna get too predictable in their play, especially when they're not making their chances. I mean, you know, there's set piece goals that either we give up or that we're able to score on. The way that they keep trying to play it today on. The way Ricky Pooch can keep getting beat up in the midfield, I feel like that they can just mark certain guys and we're screwed, you know? Before we start talking about El Tráfico, let me know.
Yeah, well, I think, you know, yes, there is a blueprint here, but every team has one, right? Like, that is tactics. But I think the way that they create chances through Pencil, through Peck, through Pooch, they have three different ways of attacking you and unsettling you and firing at you in a way that, like, yeah, it seems basic, but they're highly effective ways. There's a reason they're time honored. There's a reason we look at teams, and we look at teams that, you know, fire over overloads and look for, you know, those moments, and look for the overlaps, look for the overloads, look for, you know, a darting run through the center of midfield, which I think I'll give Brugman and Delgado a ton of credit. They've been really good about doing that trailing run. That is an incredibly dangerous thing. It's an underrated thing, but it's a dangerous thing. I mean, they were happy to get in the trenches on this game, and I think, you know, this was a game that required them to get in the trenches. Obviously, you know, 11 fouls, you know, 9 interceptions, 28 clearances, 21 blocks, and you know, 10 aerial duels. Obviously, that is a score line, or that is a stat line of, look, you know, this was a little bit of a bar fight at times, but, and we knew that due to the weather and due to everything that was going on. But I do think the fact that the Galaxy can have this sort of game in the golf bag, that's a really good feeling, and that's a really good sign. Now, I do think, as we slowly kind of transition into talking about Saturday, they're going to have to be a little more present mentally on the defensive side of things, because LAFC with Denny Bouanga, with their ability, with the attackers they have, to completely flip the field in about 30 seconds or less, is going to be dangerous. But this is an LAFC side that has moved a lot slower than in previous iterations. It's a lot more methodical. It's not like what we were dealing with when LAFC kind of first came on the stage with under Bob Bradley. Steve Cherundolo is favored a little bit more of the possession buildup play, and I think that's going to be something that the Galaxy might actually match up a little bit decently with. I also would point to the Colorado game that LAFC played, and that second half they just let Jordy Mihailovic completely punched them in the throat multiple times in terms of just the way that he was allowed to operate in space. And I'm thinking to myself, watching those highlights, and I'm like, wow, if Jordy Mihailovic has this much space in the center of midfield, Riqui Puig plays about the same position, and Riqui Puig is about four times better. So there is reason to believe that the Galaxy come to this game. And obviously, rivalry games, we say it every time on the show, rivalry games are a very, very weird beast, and we don't do predictions, but you shouldn't do predictions anyway around a rivalry game because just things happen in those games because of the heat and the intensity of those games. But it does feel like this iteration of LAFC is a little bit more happy to play against the ball rather than use the ball as a defensive tool as well. And I think the Galaxy are really going to thrive off that. I think there's a lot here that I go into this game with the sixth game undefeated streak, with everything. I'm like, this does feel really like a good time to meet them at that stadium.
Yeah, and they'll be missing one of their kids. LAFC got a red card on their last match, and then to be coming off a loss against Colorado. I mean, LAFC always feels like they have to prove something. They'll be home, so it'll be very tough for the Galaxy. The faith that I have, obviously, in this team is that the way that they've been playing. I mean, I know you said that every team kind of has a blueprint. In no way did I think that we were playing basic, and maybe that is an affirmation bias, because of us being in first place and because of who we have on the pitch and how well they've been playing together in such a short time. It we'll have to see what the most likely lineup is going to hold, but I think everybody's up for it. I just hope everybody stays healthy and it just get home safe, really. I mean, in more ways than one, right? I mean, it's a hostile environment over there, and it's been a lot better lately. Belanga's still very much a threat. But LAFC has a lot of injuries as well that they're facing. So I think the Galaxy have a really good chance that they can come up against here.
Yeah, I mean, what was really interesting about that game against Colorado, because I got to watch a little bit of it before I headed into the game, was the fact that LAFC really laid off them and let them play with the ball, and LAFC played against the ball. If you look at the possession stats, 57% possession to Colorado, 43 to LAFC. Yeah, they created a lot, 10 shots on goal versus 5 from Colorado, but every other stat, in terms of passing percentages, crossing percentages, openly, all that other stuff, it didn't look good, and that defense is get addable. Obviously, you mentioned the red card to
I think it's Martinez.
I think it was Martinez. Yes, Martinez, who the second yellow, and then the two yellows, which he's I guarantee he probably got a rollicking at halftime for that. It does just feel like a back line of Hollingshead, Murillo, Long, and Palencia. It doesn't have the same luster that it used to have. Obviously, Hugo Lloris in goal is going to be difficult to beat because, I mean, he's a very good goalkeeper. But you
We
look at,
have their ex.
yeah, exactly, right? But you look at that forward line of Oliveira, Bogush, and Bouanga. There isn't anyone in that forward line right now that concerns me because, I mean, Denny Bouanga, we obviously know the offseason drama that existed, the will he, won't he, will he come back, will he not? Obviously, we know what happened with Vela, and that's still very much an open kind of conversation right now. But what's backing them as a midfield of Tillman, Ilya Sanchez, and Eddie Atuesta. I mean, Ilya Sanchez, relying on him as the core of your midfield in the year of 2024, that's a gamble. And Atuesta never really tracked in the way that they expected him to. I just think this team doesn't, this LAFC team doesn't have the same, I guess, not swagger,
Luster.
luster,
Oh.
yeah. Or like they don't generate the same fear that they used to. I think there's a lot of teams that, you saw a Colorado team that I think a lot of us we knew could be good, did not realize how good they could be. A team that I think a lot of us looked at that roster and said, okay, if this works, cool, but like we don't really think it's gonna work. And they went out and just basically said, all right, cool. Yeah, we're not afraid of you. And if the Galaxy, I haven't seen a game this year where the Galaxy have gone out against a team and looked afraid. And that's going to be something that they're going to need. Now, if this thing gets out of hand within the first 2, 3 minutes where, they go down a goal early or something like that, I'm not afraid of it anymore because look at the way that they've responded every time they've gone down in a game, right? They've found their way back in. They've pushed their, opponent to the absolute limit. and they've gotten results for it. And so I think, maybe previous iterations of the Galaxy, if they go up there on Saturday afternoon and just, get the stuffing beat out of them for 15 minutes, concede a goal, I'm not worried. I'm actually kind of like, okay, this is going to be okay. They've figured their way through games before. And I think what we saw against Seattle is the ultimate zenith of that, which is they go out, they score an early goal, and they just hold on and they get the job done. You look at the game against St. Louis, which, obviously was an absolute ding dong of a game. But again, Mayu Yoshida gets a final touch. It's 3-3. Figure it out, get through it, done. You look at the game in Nashville, they were getting the stuffing beat out of them, worse than a Build-A-Bear factory. Like, they figured it out. Like, these are things that are that mentality, and that building that mentality cannot be overstated how critical that is. That's what makes a good team. Good teams win games, great teams figure out games. And I think I'm not calling them great yet. Like, let's not go that far. But I'm just saying the fact that they've gone through six games in very, very diverse situations where they had to kind of figure it out makes me feel like if things, it makes me feel that if things get off kilter in this game and in whatever way, either be a red card, a goal, or just an incident, they're going to be able to mentally regroup and mentally recover.
Yeah, that's a really good point. But I do feel like the Galaxy have way more weighing on them going into this because they are a more put together team. They are sitting in first place. We don't have a good track record at BMO. I think that the Galaxy have more going for them going into this match in a positive way, but also what am I trying to say? The pressure is on. It's still a rivalry match. I wouldn't be surprised if somehow this game comes out as a draw too. Just because, it's a rivalry match, and like how you said, you can't really put it another way, But yeah, so I think it's gonna be, hopefully it's gonna be an exciting match. I mean, this match could also be very boring at some point because even against Seattle, I was like, man, what is going on? Like we're 1-0 and there's still 50 minutes left in this game, right? So
Yeah, I mean,
yeah.
look, I mean, this is as you said, it's a rivalry game, and we've talked about the motivation, and if they're not up for it, then I don't know what gets you up for a game. I think you make a very good point about the pressure, and you mentioned like you could see a draw on it, but obviously, I think that it's
I don't
something.
like saying that.
Well, look, I mean, a draw away to your biggest rival
It's still good.
is not a bad
I
thing. It's
know.
actually a very
I
good
know.
data point.
Yeah, because LAFC did beat Nashville 5-0. So it does, there is, I don't want to underestimate this team.
Yeah, but the other thing too is also, I mean, Nashville is just not a good team like right now. Like, let's be honest here. But I think what also it's when you were mentioning I'm the okay with a draw, and I was thinking about how many I mean this fixture turns in goals every time. I think the lowest scoring one has been like a 2-2 draw or something like that. Like, it's an absolutely ridiculous fixture. But something
Yeah,
like.
but see, the Galaxy don't score really high right now.
No. I mean, it was like, it was something like until last year, every Traffico had a goal scored before the first 15 minutes had been up. Like,
Oh, yeah. Well,
this
that
game
might
does.
still happen.
Yeah, this game turns in goals. But when you mentioned that, I was thinking, like, wouldn't it be fitting that the most exciting attacking trio the Galaxy has seen in quite a long time turns in a nil-nil, like one shot draw
Oh,
between the
God,
two
no.
teams? Like, that'd be
Oh,
absolutely
man.
boring possible game between these two teams because they just negate each other so well or something like that. I doubt that's
I
going to
mean, it
happen.
could, right? I mean, because this is a different team going in. I mean, we're expecting like a 5-4 Galaxy win here, but with the Galaxy not putting those goals away and LAFC not being who they are, this could be a low scoring match.
Yeah, I respect that opinion, and it could. I doubt it's going to be. I mean, you just look at the way that Pencil, Pooch, and Peck unseated Seattle multiple times. They're gonna get their looks. Deion's hungry right now. He and I think Deion realizes he needs to stamp his authority on the league right now, because I think there are some conversations
and finally get that sixth goal for the record.
And there's some conversations about, his long-term future and where he tracks with this team. If, they went out and spent a lot of money and got kind of a dud, like I think that was a pretty serious conversation that was being held last year. So they're going to be hungry for it. The Galaxy get up for this game every single time. We've seen previous iterations of the Galaxy look absolutely terrible for five, six games and then come into this game and just absolutely blow LAFC out of the water. But again, both these teams are going to be up for it. It's an odd time to have El Tráfico because it is the sixth or seventh game of the year, and that just kind of
Yeah, and I think that we've
feels too
always,
early.
yeah, the El Tráfico games have always been like MLS's biggest thing, but now that Messi's here, maybe it's, I don't know, chilled out a bit.
Well, also both teams haven't had time to really build kind of the resumes that make a rivalry game in a season good, right? Like you need a resume, you need a narrative around a team, and 6 games into the year, hard to do.
I
Obviously,
mean, there's definitely plenty of banter, isn't there?
oh yeah, no question. I mean, both fan bases hate each other like that. We know this, and I think there is some narrative around this game. Obviously, it's El Tráfico. Both teams get up for it. It's a LAFC side that needs a result to kind of kickstart their season. For the Galaxy, it's a question of is what we have seen all of these 6 games. Is that really what the Galaxy are, or are we looking at something different? And then, I'm not saying the Galaxy are going to go undefeated over 36 games. That's just,
Not gonna happen.
but I
Yeah,
mean, it's
I
unreasonable to expect that of this group. But, again, the
know.
Galaxy,
Yeah, that's also not the game, right? Like, soccer is not working like that.
I mean, if the Galaxy go out and get, like a 2-0 win or something like that at that stadium, it's going to be a statement win for the season. But I just think that the reason that there's not as, I mean, there's heat between the two fan bases, but that's because there always is. And if you go on Twitter and stuff like that, you see it.
It's toxic.
But it does feel just a little bit more kind of muted because of the fact that it is the seventh game of the year. That being said, it's going to be an intense day. And I think, the Galaxy, you're going to be up for this. And if there's one thing Vanny has done very well over his tenure with the Galaxy is he gets his team up for big games in a way that I think is really impressive. He's smart, pragmatic, and he's really good at stoking the fire of their passion, but also making sure that they are ready to go from a tactical and, management side. So I think I have utter confidence he'll be ready for this game and the team will be ready for this game. I think it's just a question of what LAFC shows up on the day because LAFC has done a little bit of a Jekyll and Hyde impression over the past couple of weeks. And I think we don't know what we're going to get on the day.
They're a box of chocolates. I'm sorry. The
Yeah, you either get the coconut one or you get like the weird, like painfully chewy one or something like that.
You're like, oh no, I didn't want this one. I should have checked what it was before I ate it. Yeah, the shout out to all the fans that are traveling over there. Shout out to the fans that are watching from wherever they are. Shout out to the fans that are not immediately located right in downtown LA. Shout out to all of our fans. Thank you so much for listening. Yeah, it's gonna be a fun match. I know that we said a lot here and there, but I'm like, no, it's gonna be fun. I mean, look, I keep thinking about the Rose Bowl that's still coming. That's the one that I feel like is a lot bigger and a lot more of a statement, but that can also just be because of, the rivalry there.
Yeah, and I mean the Rose Bowl game last year was such a blockbuster event. No, I look, rivalry games of this magnitude are always fun, right? Like we can come on here and dread how much we have to talk about them and how like we don't know what to expect because the rivalry games and all the rest of it, we can dread it.
Another El Tráfico number 22.
But you wake up in the morning on that day, and there's a different energy when you wake up in the morning on a rivalry game day, I think. And I'm very excited. I will be at that stadium. But if you are unable to attend, go and find your local viewing party. I know the supporters groups are all doing viewing parties and they're a great way to meet people. They're a great time. And I know some do like raffles and stuff like that. So there's probably one close to you. So go find your local viewing party.
Absolutely. And yeah, I'm just glad that the rivalry horse hasn't quite been beaten yet. So we'll just treat it like a piñata.
I will more than happily treat LAFC's defense like a pinata on Saturday.
All right, stay tuned. You heard it here.
See you next week.